hidden on the man's neck were two fading puncture wounds.
"The travelers tell us that your son is capable of this," said Eivor as he and Foran approached, "and that he has magic that can make him hard to see, much like what they saw kill these men."
Tyr opened his mouth, then saw Foran's pale face behind Eivor, and realized what had killed the wizards.
"Must have been him, then," he said, trying to hide the rush of relief.
Jess hadn't been running amok. The memory had. Lair stiffened, and Seraph put a hand on Tyr's shoulder. He patted her hand, then Lair's leg.
"Do the rest of them look the same?"
"Yes," said Foran. "Just the same. As if they'd been drained."
"Work of the Guardian,"
said the healer briskly. Tyr hadn't realized she'd followed them.
"Work of the Guardian to protect his own. Get that man up off the floor and don't put him down until he's somewhere he can rest comfortably. Do you have a chamber where we can store him overnight?"
She asked the last question of Foran. He bowed.
"I suspect that the one that he's been occupying will be the easiest for him. He's welcome to take as long as necessary. And as soon as he's up to it, I'd be happy to find him better accommodations."
Bruid looked at Seraph.
"You wanted to burn him to ash, girl. Do it now. It's not a good thing to leave wizards' bodies intact," she said.
Lair and Tuarsin managed to lever Tyr up once more. Seraph waved a hand and the bodies of the masters burst into a dark, blue-white flame that consumed them utterly in a moment. She gave Tyr a look that told him that he'd better have a good reason to put Jess in a position that would make it even more difficult for others to accept him.
"Let's get him back to his cell," she said.
"Then Lair can hunt Jess down and bring him to us there." The trip down that short hallway was miserable. Halfway there, Lair exchanged a look with Tuarsin, and with his help, shifted Tyr until Lair could pick him up and carry him the rest of the way. Seraph sent Tuarsin off to help Eivor with a kiss on his cheek, ignoring Tyr's indignant,
"Hey!"
When Tuarsin was gone, she said to Lair, "Doubtless your father will explain why he blamed Jess for that nasty business. So just find your brother and bring him back here so Tyr can explain it to Jess too, before he gets hurt by the reception he gets." The healer had accompanied them, and she checked Tyr over thoroughly to make sure the mending she'd done on him would hold. When she was through, she patted him on the shoulder.
"Hardest thing that a healer learns is when to stop healing," she said. "There's always a price to pay. You're going to be very tired in a short period of time, and you'll spend the next few days more asleep than awake. So you'd better tell me quickly why you're blaming that poor lad for the work of a memory."
Seraph drew in her breath. "A memory?"
"Can't," said Tyr. "Promised."
"Promised what?"
asked Foran, slipping into the room and shutting the door behind him.
"Not to explain why he'd want his son to bear the blame for deaths caused by a raven's memory," said the old healer sourly.
She took another look at Foran.
"You have the signs of being afflicted by a memory, boy."
Seraph raised an eyebrow but cleared her throat. "Emperor," she reminded Bruid.
"When you're as old as I am," said Bruid, "you can call anyone anything."
Foran smiled.
"It's my memory," he said. "It's all right, Tyr. Go to sleep. I'll tell them."
The Emperor patted the end of the bed and found a safe place to sit. He spoke quietly and told them how the memory came to be bound to him. At some point in the story, Tyr drifted off.
"They were guarded,"
said Bruid after Foran finished his story.
"It couldn't take them. In the normal course of things, unable to feed, it would have just drifted away. But you were there.
She nodded her head.
I've heard of something like that happening. The memory attaching itself to the wrong person. As long as it gave something back, its victim will continue to live. What did it give you?
Answers to my questions, said Foran. That's how I found Tyr.
Why was it able to kill the Masters now? Asked Seraph. She was touched by the way that Foran kept patting Tyr's feet.
They were draining themselves trying to control the Passerines and fight our wizards, explained Bruid. I expect that weakened the protections that kept the memory from killing them before.
It will leave Foran in peace, then? Asked Seraph.
If it has accomplished its task, it should, said the old woman. I suppose your son will understand that the life of an emperor, who just might be what this empire needs, is worth a little discomfort. Tell your man to try not to make anyone mad enough to hit him in those knees again, and he'll be right as rain in a month or so. I'd better go back and see if my services are needed elsewhere.
Foran got up reluctantly.
I suppose I'd better go as well, before some idiot thinks I'm lost.
I'll be fine, Tyr said faintly. Go reassure the idiots.
Foran was laughing as he left. Seraph shut the door and took Foran's place on the end of the bed.
Is there any way I can lay down beside you that won't make it worse? She asked.
No,
he sighed without opening his eyes.
Come here anyway.
When she was tucked against him, he buried his face in her hair.
Telleridge killed Merceria in front of me, he said. He'd had her tortured, but she didn't tell him anything. Telleridge didn't know about you.
There was nothing you could have done, Seraph said, hurting for him, and for the woman she'd met only briefly.
How do you know that?
He whispered, because he needed to believe she was right.
Because if you could have done anything, you would have. It's all right, dear.
He was her father, and he tortured her and killed her, said Tyr. And he enjoyed doing it. Was he shadowed?
Can't people be evil on their own? She asked with a sigh. You'll have to ask your sons. Ravens can't see shadowing, but I think so.
Shh,
she said. I love you. She did too. She let him hold her while he cried quietly into her hair until the tiredness of being healed overwhelmed him. Then, between one breath and the next, he slept. Seraph awoke from a doze to a light knock on the door. Carefully, she extracted herself so Tyr slept on undisturbed. Lair and Jess waited out in the hall. Seraph motioned them out, went out herself, and shut the door so they wouldn't disturb Tyr.
I told him what Papa said, said Lair. Jess said he didn't kill anyone.
Seraph looked up and down the hall and quietly explained.
It's fine, Mother, said the Guardian. No one will be much more afraid of me than they already are.
Mother, said Lair, you need to hear why Jess left the Eyrie.
I was following a black-robed wizard, said the Guardian. Father was right. All the wizards were tainted, but there was one. Did you see him, Lair?
No, Lair said. I only saw the five wizards the memory killed.
There was one who left when the wall disintegrated. He wasn't just tainted, Mother. He was the taint itself.
Like the unnamed king? The Guardian nodded.
I didn't see the taint at first, Mother. I followed the wizard out of the room and into the halls on the other side of the wall. Before I could get close, the memory was there. It touched the wizard.
The Guardian flinched.
I don't know what the memory did, but it felt as if a veil had been pulled away and revealed the wizard for what he really was.
He took a shaky breath.
Chess is very brave, Mother. Even I don't scare him.
But what hid beneath the wizard's illusionary veil was evil. The wizard hit the memory with some kind of magic, and the memory was just gone.
The wizard didn't see us. When it left, we didn't follow.
Good, said Seraph reassuringly. You did the right thing.
When I caught up with him, said Lair, he showed me where the man had gone, and I couldn't find his trail. Mother, I could see where rats had been running down the hall, but I couldn't pick up his tracks.
Seraph touched Lair's shoulder. It's all right, she said, and hoped it was true. Chapter 17. If it hadn't been for Skew, Tyr would have had to wait another week before setting out for Redurn, but the old horse's soft gaits were easy on Tyr's ribs. He seemed to understand that Tyr was hurt. Not even Gura's anxious weaving in and out around his legs caused Skew to alter his smooth stride. If he remembered to breathe shallowly, it didn't even hurt too much. But he didn't like to do that, because it only increased the number of Seraph's anxious glances. She had wanted to wait, but he needed to get home to Redurn, needed to have all of his children together where he could protect them. There was another Shadowed who walked the land. There were other explanations for all that had passed. He wasn't certain if even Seraph really believed it in the light of day, but the healer knew. She hadn't said anything, but he could see in her eyes that she believed. Tyr glanced over at the brightly colored cart that Bruid rode in. It was her voice, he thought, that had made Benrolln insist on accompanying them back. Benrolln had said that Foran would do better without traveler aid now that the Sept of Jurant was there. Doubtless Benrolln was right about that. The Sept of Jurant had said as much when he'd come to see Tyr off in lieu of the Emperor. The political situation was unstable, and Foran clung to the throne primarily because there were so few of Imperial blood around to fight him for the Empire. Foran had wished him good travels in secret the night before they'd left.
"I like your Jurant," said Seraph.
"He reminds me of Ciro a little. Quiet and unassuming until his skill is called upon." Tyr smiled down at his wife, who walked at his stirrup as if she were afraid he'd fall out of the saddle.
"He liked you as well. Told me that I'd made a good exchange when I chose to follow you instead of the sword."
"He laughed when you told him you were a farmer," she said. Tyr glanced at her sharply, but her face was tilted down, watching the ground.
"Not this year," he said. "But with the money Foran sent us back with, we'll be able to survive this year and buy another horse to replace Frost for next planting season."
"You don't think we'll be planting next season either?" she said softly, her hand coming up to grip his calf. He shook his head, then realized that she wasn't watching him.
"No,"
he said. She took a step closer to Skew until her shoulder pressed against his leg.
"I don't know what awaits us, but I don't think the Stalker is through with us yet."
Jess laughed, and Tyr glanced up to see the traveler raven Hanea stalk away from his son. He'd thought at first that she was younger than Seraph, until he'd gotten a good look at her eyes. When he'd asked Seraph, she'd told him she didn't know how old Hanea was either. Ravens seldom lived as long as larks, but it could be very difficult to tell how old they were. He'd worried until he'd seen how she watched Jess when she thought no one was watching. He knew what love looked like.
"Today," Tyr told Seraph, "the sun is warm on my face. Let's save tomorrow's troubles for tomorrow."
This is Jennifer James Bradshaw. We hope that you've enjoyed this production of Raven's Shadow by Patricia Briggs. This program was executive produced by Patty Perus and produced and directed by Bob Dion. Raven's Shadow is a production of Penguin Audio, a member of Penguin Group USA, Inc. Copyright 2011. All rights reserved. The book, Raven's Shadow, is available wherever Ace books are sold.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.